Paul wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." Good evening. A couple notes as we have our candlelight service tonight. If you are a reader, make sure you have a Bible. As your verse, as we talked about after the service this morning, so make sure you have your verse ready when you get to it. It's not what's printed in the handout. It'll be the scripture verse in the Bible as listed on the handout. And what we'll do for this service, this Lessons and Carols service, it's had different names, sometimes 9 Lessons and Carols, sometimes 8 Lessons and Carols. It's a historic service. BBC has run it for years and years. But it's just a good lesson learning service as we hear the good news of Christ coming into the world on this Christmas celebration so many years ago. So we'll go through the lessons and the carols, and then we're going to have communion, and we're going to have everybody come forward for communion. And you'll go to the first station for bread, the second station for juice. The juice cup will go in the container there, and then you'll grab a candle. And when you grab a candle, we'll all make a circle around the church to end with our final song of Silent Night. Let me offer a word of prayer, and then we're going to stand and sing, "O Come, All Ye Faithful." Lord Jesus, we thank you for this night as we remember your coming into the world. Lord, as we sing these songs and hear scripture read, continue to awaken our heart and encourage our minds, Lord, of the good news that is you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Let's stand and sing, "O Come, All Ye Faithful."
And fall of man. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that it was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me some of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb in the field. In the sweat of your head you will eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord said, "Behold, the man has become like us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and also take from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim on the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life.
Let's remain seated as we sing 329, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus," verses 1 and 2.
Angel of the Lord called down to Abraham from heaven a second time. He said, "I am giving you my word that I will bless you. I will bless you because of what you have done," announces the Lord. "You have not held back your son, your only son. So I will certainly bless you. I will make the children born into your family as many as the stars in the sky. I will make them as many as the grains of sand on the seashore. They will take over the cities of their enemies. All nations on earth will be blessed because of your children. All these things will happen because you have obeyed me."
Let's sing "Angels We Have Heard on High," 327. And we have the verses listed on the handout.
No one turn
on,
O come
upon Oops, yes. Usually I get away with this statement. O come, Emmanuel, 328.
Thank you. people walking in darkness have seen a great light. To the living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, and the people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice even dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across the shoulders and the rod of your oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood, will be destined for the burning, and will be fuel for the fire. For to those a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of the government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from this time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Ephraim's jealousy will vanish, and Judah's enemies will be cut off. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, nor Judah hostile toward Ephraim. They will swoop down on the slopes of Philistia to the west. Together they will plunder the people to the east. They will lay hands on Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites will be subject to them. The Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea with a scorching wind. He will sweep his hand over the Euphrates River. He will break it up into seven streams so that men can cross over in sandals. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people that is left from Assyria, as there was for Israel when they came up from Egypt.
Psalm 355, verses 1 and 3. The text for tonight is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit, and consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord.
And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. There was an article in Christianity Today, a while back, referencing the town of East and West Berlin. Right on the line there was a church, and it was called the Church of the Reconciliation. Kind of ironic name, right? It straddled both East and West Germany. The Church of the Reconciliation. The church, in the pictures that Christianity Today ran with it, was an abandoned building. The building itself had the statue of Christ at the entrance in East Berlin, while the front sidewalk was in West Berlin before tensions had calmed there. It was a 10-foot brick wall that stood between the two. Very symbolic, right? Symbolic often of how churches can be, how families can be. And it's nothing new, right? Paul wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus because there was an issue happening at Ephesus between the Jews and the Gentiles. The gospel was for all. There was one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. But there was confusion, and there were differences, and there was separation between both Jew and Gentile. So Paul wrote these words, showing what Christ had come to do, to bring reconciliation between both Jew and Gentile. Paul wrote regarding the ceremonial law, the civil law, the moral law. He wrote about what Christ came to do, to fulfill the law on behalf of those who would take faith in him. Paul was bringing reconciliation to the people of God. He was bringing it to the words of God about Christ and the work that he did. You know, this whole Christmas story is about the work that Christ has come to do, right? We'll be taking communion. We'll be remembering his broken body and his shed blood. Born in a stable, born to live the life we couldn't live, in our place, obeying God perfectly to the point of death. To die on the cross in our place. The death that was due us, he took in himself, reconciling us back to God the Father and joining us together, right? Think of our own history as the CRC Church, and there was a time, and I know the history. We didn't have that history where I grew up. There was one church, and it was a joint church between the CRC and RCA Union Church in central Wisconsin. And then I moved to central Iowa, and I heard the stories. You don't play with those RCA kids. You don't marry the CRC kids. And even in our own histories, there was division, right? It was a risky step bringing in a Jasinski, but it shows that this church is pushing towards those ends historically, right? Yep. Funny but true. It's a good sign. It is a good sign. The gospel is for more than just us, right? And we have divisions, even theologically, with our Methodist brothers and sisters, Pentecostal brothers and sisters. There are some big theological differences, and we're to be convinced in our mind what it is we believe in according to Scripture. But the gospel for all those that will believe, that will trust Christ, right? There won't be a special room for one denomination and another. And we'll all be straightened out in the end. I've said this before, I believe myself. I understand Calvinism to be the best understanding of Scripture. It makes it the easiest for me to convey and to preach. And I love it. I love the covenant promises to families and to their kids. But I do imagine I get to heaven and God will say, almost. You missed a couple things here and a couple things there. We don't have the perfect tight grip on theology, though I think it is right overall. The point being, Christ has brought reconciliation. He brings it to his people. You had two different groups here understanding what Christ had done differently between the Jews and the Gentiles. Paul says the gospel is for you all. He's made you all one. We live in a time that needs peace. Peace has been the theme of the day. We sang songs of peace this morning in our worship time. Paul's writing a letter of Christ bringing peace to Jew and to Gentile. We know we need peace. Paul wrote this again in verse 14 to 16. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. By abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Ceremonial law, food restrictions, dress restrictions. The Gentiles aren't doing it right, might have been the accusation in Ephesus. But now they hear something different from Paul. What has Christ done? What has he done among his people? Tearing down these walls of hostility, building one new man, joined together in Christ, the body of Christ together. Christ fulfilling the law. The law set in place for God's people. The requirements. It was about Christ. We look at what God has commanded and we see our inability to fulfill it, and we see the one who has fulfilled it, Jesus himself. We go to him and we thank him for fulfilling the law in our place, and he points us back to what God has commanded. Christ has come into the world to bring reconciliation. What did this mean between Jew and Gentile believer? It meant ultimately that they were unified in Christ. It meant that they were joined together in one body through Christ, Jew and Gentile believer. There's only one way to be saved, be clear about that, and that is through Jesus. Paul said in Galatians 3, 27-29, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." There's one way to be saved. That is through Jesus. So what does that mean for us tonight? I think Paul sums it up well with these words from Romans. "The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." So we celebrate Christ coming into the world. And some of these celebrations, at least our families, maybe here tonight, will be tense. They need some reconciliation. So my encouragement to you is, as you gather with family, remember what Christ has come to do. Not only to reconcile us back to the Father, but back to one another. Let me pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are our peace. We thank you that you came into the world to do what we couldn't do. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for all that you are doing in the world, in our lives, for all that you will yet do when you come again, when our bodies are transformed to be like your spiritual body, when you bring with you a new heavens and a new earth. Lord, let us long for that day. Let us be at work with you towards those hands, Lord, joining you in what you're doing. Might we be about the business of peace as well. We pray this in your name. Amen.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be barren in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Sing together in 354, verses 1 and 2. Thank you.
those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own city, his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was expecting a child to him, was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Let's sing 345, 1, 3, and 4.
Shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with him, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told, what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Let's sing verses 1 and 2 of 348. Change things up a little bit on the order of worship, so hopefully this doesn't mess us up too much. We're going to take an offering at this time. The offering can go to the general fund. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to come forward for communion. And again, how we'll do communion is we'll go to each station, we'll take a candle, we'll light the candle on the Christ Remembrance candle, and we'll stand around and close out with silent night prayer in the back. But this time, let's take the offering for our general fund. Father, we thank you for the offering that was taken tonight for the general fund. We do pray for the finances here of the church. We thank you, Lord, that you've made us abound in every good thing. We thank you for the church you've placed us in here, all of us together, to do your work. So we pray your blessing on the deacons, Lord, as they distribute these funds to your glory. We pray in your name. Amen. All right, let's pick up with the eighth blessing. Thank you.
born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet had written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go too and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream that not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
So in Luke 37, verses 1 and 2.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that light was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Let's sing the last two verses of 337.
Thank you.
think this will work since we don't have a huge crowd. If you go through the communion line first, you'll be standing the longest, if that's okay with you. But again, we'll go through the line, and then you grab your candle light, and then circle around the sanctuary as we sing then the closing hymn, Silent Night. The supper, which we're going to celebrate, is, in essence, remembering what Christ came in the world to do. We remember that our Lord Jesus Christ was sent of the Father into the world. He was sent by the Father to assume our flesh and blood and to fulfill for us all obedience to the divine law, even to the bitter and shameful death on the cross. By his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, he established for us a new and eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation, that we might be accepted of God and never forsaken by him. In communion, we commune with this same Christ, who has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the world. In the breaking of the bread, he makes himself known to us as the true heavenly bread that strengthens us into eternal life. And the cup of blessing which we bless, he comes to us as the vine, in whom we must abide if we are to bear fruit. And we come in hope, believing in the bread and this cup, they're a pledge and they're a foretaste of what's coming when he comes again and seats us around his table, of which we all will partake when his kingdom is fully come. When with unveiled face we will behold him and made like unto him into his glory, since by his death, resurrection, and ascension, Christ has obtained for us the life-giving Spirit, who unites us all into one body. So we receive this supper in love, mindful of the communion of saints. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the reason you came into the world, and we remember that tonight at this table, through the breaking of bread, through the juice, Lord, your broken body, your blood poured out for us. We thank you for your Spirit's presence with us, Lord. Remind us of the great price that you paid, that we freely receive, and the promise you give to us through your broken body and shed blood. We pray this in your name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and gave thanks and said, "This bread is my body which is broken for you. As often as you eat of it, do this in remembrance of me." So we'll start in the front and we'll move our way back. And the bread will be right here, the juice will be over here. If I could have my two elders. We'll be singing verses 1, 3, and 4 of Silent Night. If you don't have your sheets, I'm sure everyone knows this one. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord turn his countenance upon you and give you grace. So you can keep your candles or you can put them out.